Good morning. Kids can go to worship lab. We are going to look in the Gospel of John. We're going to look at chapters 13 and 14. John 13. Verse 34, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then John 14. Beginning in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak into this place through your word, through these comments on your word. I pray that we would hear your voice and respond in our hearts, respond with the living of our lives, respond in faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite Christmas songs, made popular almost 35 years ago, was Love Has Come by Amy Grant. It was on her first Christmas album. Now here are the lyrics from the second verse. She says, if I could have a special dream coming true on Christmas morn, I would want the world to see how his Father smiled when Christ was born. The greatest gift the world has known. So come on, kids, look high and low for all the toys you've dreamed to find. But I believe you'll never know a greater joy than Jesus' love inside. And then she goes into the chorus and sings, love has come for the world to know. And the song continues on from there. And I love that song. When I was a kid in youth group, I loved listening to Amy Grant. And this is one of my favorite songs by her. But you know, as I've sort of learned to think critically, I'm asking questions of the things I enjoyed growing up, and there's a question that I would put to this song that I haven't asked before now, so I'm going to ask it right now. Why did love need to come? Wasn't love already here? Didn't they have love in 1983? Was love missing? Hold on to that thought. Hold on to that question. Was love missing? Is that why God needed to come to earth and inhabit human skin? Now, the words of John 13 that we just read, I give you a new commandment. New is a favorite word in the New Testament. In Christ, we become new creations. At the end of the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, God promised a new heaven and a new earth, which is actually this earth made new, joined with heaven made new. It sounds lovely, sounds inviting. I want to be there. But why did Jesus at that time feel the need to give a new commandment? And why was that the commandment Jesus felt was necessary? I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. We've got a love problem. A lack of love prompted Jesus to give this specific command as a foundation in the new age that dawned with his coming. His so-called new command was actually based on teachings in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. He was reaching right back into the original commands of God. When asked on numerous occasions, what is the greatest of God's commands? Jesus responded the same way every time. He was a traveling rabbi. His popularity was on the rise. And so that's one of the questions that was put to him. What's the most important of all the commands, Rabbi? And every time Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Love God. And then a second command is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the core of the Christian life. We love God with everything that is in us, with our very selves, with the fullness of our lives. We give ourselves to showing love for God. Well, how do we do that? What does it look like? Love is made manifest in the way we love our neighbors. And from reading the Bible, we know that our neighbor is whoever we come across in everyday life, in the comings and goings of life. It's anyone we meet. Jesus felt the need to say that because he looked around and he didn't see God worshipers or anyone else giving the kind of love that he had in mind. Amy Grant wrote this song and performed this song that declared that love had come, love had arrived with Jesus' arrival. She said this because she's a Jesus follower, and her understanding of the world that she saw it in 1983 was such that she believed that without Jesus, this love was missing. We look around in the town where we live, Chapel Hill, 2017. That's our world. We look around and we see deep pain. The way people thought about love and thought about the world in Jesus' day, the days when the Bible stories were written, the way they thought about love did not alleviate the suffering that was around them then. Suffering caused by diseases that couldn't be cured, by colonization and dehumanization of people, by rampant poverty. And their idea of what love is wasn't helping with these problems. Today, there's just as much pain in the world around us as there was in Jesus' day. Now, we have 2,000 years of technological advancement, developments in medicine, intellectual development. We've been through the Age of Reason, the Renaissance, the Enlightenment. We've experienced in the last 50 years unbelievable revolutions in transportation and communication. The world is connected. And yet, with all that's been achieved by human beings, we look around and see as much pain as ever, as many people hurt now as they have at any time in history. And that's true in big, strong, wealthy nations like the United States, just as it is true in other places, poorer countries. Humanity has a condition. Humanity has a condition that no doctor can treat, no medicine can cure, and no technology can fix. It's the sin condition. Each one of us has our own individual role to play in this with the sins that we commit, our own unique role. You probably don't think of yourself as an agent of pain for yourself and others. I don't see myself that way. But I know when I sin, I hurt myself and other people, and we are all sinners. It's not all we are. That's not the only thing. This isn't one of those deals where you come to church and bam, the pastor just slams on everybody. I mean, you are made in the image of God. Genesis 1 declared that when you were created, God looked and said, "Very good. You are God's image bearer." But we have free will. And in our free will, we sin. We willingly turn away from God. And the fact that we all do it, and everyone who's ever lived except for Jesus has done it, leaves this sin condition plaguing humanity and all of creation. And there are results from this sin condition. There is fruit that this sin condition produces. One example is divorce. A divorce is a death. The death of a relationship that started out with two people making vows to stay with each other through good times and in bad, to love each other no matter how hard it gets, and to only part if death parted them. And then when things get hard and they're not happy anymore, well, that's enough of that. Divorce is the death of a relationship, but our society has so idolized happiness that if you don't feel happy, then you bail out, and it's not a bad thing, and maybe even it's a good thing. This is the fruit produced by the sin condition. And I'm going to set to the side circumstances where maybe a divorce has to happen. I'll talk about that on another Sunday. But in general, speaking about this, this one fruit produced by the sin condition is broken relationships. Another is sexual confusion and sex scandals. We treat sex casually, ignoring God's boundaries, which were put in place to keep sex healthy and beautiful and tied to a relationship of love. The idea that one would keep himself or herself and wait for marriage is seen as quaint and childish, old-fashioned. Society giggles at the thought that one would actually submit to Scripture as a guide for sexuality. This is a condition of sin. I'm listing examples here. We could list many. Poverty is another one. Fruit produced by the sin condition. Or one that's maybe less obvious, but just as much real, maybe even more pervasive. People living empty lives, void of meaning, and utterly lacking in direction. This is a reality produced by our sinful condition. We could keep listing things. Humanity's infected. And there are symptoms. The human body gets a virus, symptoms break out, aches and pains, a rash, nausea, runny nose. The world has contracted sin as a sickness, broken relationships, toxic sexuality, violence, poverty, emptiness are some of the symptoms that result of our condition. And something that's not helping with this is the ideas that we come up with, the definitions we come up with for love. We think of love as a feeling or an emotion. I will tell you, feelings can't be trusted. Now, I don't mean feelings aren't bad. God created us as feeling creatures. We have feelings. I have feelings. I love it when I feel love. I love being in love. But I will tell you, if you've never been married or you don't think you've ever been in love, there are days, and I'm not just saying this because my wife's not here. When I wrote this, I thought she was going to be here today. There are days when you feel a lot of things other than love. Doesn't mean you bail out. People break up because they're not in love anymore. They don't feel happy. They've fallen out of love. Love isn't something we fall into or fall out of. Love is something that's in us. It's in you. It's something you give, even when you don't feel like it. Feelings are real, but they can't be the only thing that drive us or even the first thing that drives us. Love as a feeling doesn't help with the pain that sin has imposed on the world. Neither does love as romance. I'm a fan of the sappy songs on the radio. I enjoy the way they make me feel, especially the ones from Broadway musicals like Phantom of the Opera. But I know that romance, as fantastic as it is fleeting. Starry-eyed love does not heal the world's pain. And even if you're one of the few people who might be lucky enough to have the fairy tale ending and ride off into the sunset, after you've ridden off into the sunset, the next morning the sun rises. And you're like everybody else, you have to live in that sunrise in a world that's infected by the condition of sin. God saw the world, and God sees the world as it is. God's response was to take on flesh and walk among us. God knew sin was too powerful for us to overcome, so in Jesus, God came. Here's the chorus from that song I referred to. Love has come for the world to know, as the wise men knew such a long time ago. And I believe the angels sang that hope had begun when the God of glory, who is full of mercy, yes, the God of glory, sent his son. And then Starlin recommended to me the song Noel that she sang by Chris Tomlin. That song shows this God love in theological categories. The opening lines are love incarnate, love divine. Love divine means godly love. Love that human beings on our own power are incapable of producing. We could work on developing our technology and our society for another 2,000 years and we'd be no closer to divine love. We have to depend on God for it. We desperately need it. We desperately need it to fully be what we were created to be, God's image bearers. But the only way we can have it is if God gives it. And God does, graciously and abundantly. That's love divine. Love incarnate means this godly love is here, is present among us. Incarnation is the idea of being completely and permanently present. When Jesus is referred to as the incarnation of God, we are declaring that God walked among us as a human being. Jesus was not God disguised as a human. That's from Greek mythology, and that's the second century heresy of Gnosticism. Jesus emptied himself of divinity. This comes from Philippians chapter 2. He didn't stop being God, but he emptied himself to the point that he was fully human, fully present. So when we hear sung love incarnate, love divine as Advent worship, we are insisting that Jesus is love, and in Jesus, God's love is fully with us. This love is seen in the way Jesus interacted with people, especially people who were outside the center of societal life. So blind beggars who were literally at the side of the road, outcast tax collectors and prostitutes who were thought of as ethically unacceptable, immoral persons, not eligible for worship. Gentiles who are seen as unclean, the poor who are seen as not blessed, those who God had not blessed, uneducated peasant fishermen. All these who were on the margins were welcomed into the center by Jesus. The love is in the way Jesus reacted with people and in his teachings. We find it in his words and ultimately expressed in his sacrificial death for us. So how do we live into this love that we cannot produce, that only God can give? John 14, he tells the disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Put a circle around the verb in your Bible there, keep. It has several connotations. The first one is to pay attention. when he says, keep my commandments, we're paying attention first to God's presence with us. We're paying attention to the idea that everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is there. God is in that place. And then we're paying attention to the people in that place. Who's hurting? Who's feeling a sense of loss? Feeling a sense of alienation? And we notice, we live into the love that has come by being attentive to God and to people. A second connotation of the verb to keep, when we love God by keeping His commandments, is observe. Observe. We love God by worshiping Him. Our observance happens when we do what we've done this morning. The church gathers together in the church building, because the church is not the building, but the people. And together, as a community of worshipers, we sing songs of worship. We have communal prayers. In community, we do what we're doing right now. We engage with the Word of God. We live into the love that has come by living lives of worship. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. A third connotation of keep is to fulfill. Jesus' will is done, His Word fulfilled, when we extend ourselves to help others. Again, that's an action before it is a feeling. And we can do the action even when we don't feel like it. So, as Christmas comes closer, it's 2 weeks away, make sure you get your shopping done. To whom will you show special kindness? What hurting person will be blessed because you decided to give of yourself? Or just be present, decided to sit with them? When we sacrifice our time, our resources, and our hearts on behalf of others, then the world starts to begin experiencing divine love. The shallow, temporary, fleeting expressions of love that we come up with in our own definitions don't help the world's pain. But these are eclipsed by the God love that lives in us and pours out of us because we have turned to Christ in faith. Divine love is not a feeling or sentiment. Feelings and sentiments are okay. They're part of human life, not rejecting feelings. But divine love is a choice and an action. We can only live into this divine love with God's help. And Jesus knew this. So in the same breath that he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, in the next verse, he makes this promise. I will ask the Father, and he will give you the advocate to be with you forever. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. The omnipresent God, with us always, in us always, God the Comforter, helping us see the love of God in real ways in our lives. The world's in pain. We just look around and see it on the faces of the people we know that we pass in our comings and goings. Maybe before you got ready to leave your house and come to church today, you saw your own story of that pain when you looked at yourself in the mirror. Have no fear. The Christmas story is that love has come for you in Jesus Christ. We can know that love, live in that love, and draw others into that love of God. It begins as we turn fully to Him. Love has come. Receive it by giving your heart to the Lord today.